John chapter 14. Again, this is on the mind of Christ. We need to understand as we go through this chapter that we're trying to understand more and more about the thinking and the thought processes which make up the mind of Christ. Because the mind is made up with thought processes. Is that right or wrong? Okay? John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you go. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and have henceforth, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how that I said to you, I go away and come again to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, because the prince of the world cometh and has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me a commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Well, there's a good stuff in here. Back to the first verse. Jesus continues in his dissertation and says, Let not your heart be what? Now, what does that word troubled mean to you? The language says agitated, an inward commotion, restlessness, or perplexed of the mind by doubt. Did you get all that? Let me say it again. Agitated, an inward commotion, restlessness, a perplexity of the mind created by doubt. Hello? Do what? Doubt does all that stuff. Because of the doubt, it creates all these other things in your head. Those cherubim begin to work overtime when you doubt in your mind. See, you know the only way you can get around doubt? Tell me. How do you get around doubt? You know the truth. Jesus said, John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know, guess what it'll do? It says, first of all, you'll be my disciples and you shall know the truth, and that truth that you know will make you free. See? If you know the truth, guess what your heart will not be? Troubled. Isn't that so simple? Just know God's word and you'll know that all the lies that's perpetrated by the church system and religion saying God's going to get you. Well, yeah, I have to agree with him. God's going to get you. He's going to reconcile everybody. He's going to get everybody. But see, he's not going to get you and burn you in hell. He's going to get you to bring you back to him. He sent Jesus on a mission. And my book says it, yours does too, in Isaiah 55. My word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the things I sent it there to do. Now, Jesus is the word according to John 1:1. And he become flesh in John 1:14 and dwelt among us. Now, when he left this world on the cross, he said, last thing, finished. Papa, I'm done. I have finished what you sent me to do. So guess what? He sent him to reconcile, to be a mediator between God and man, according to Scripture, didn't he? He come to reconcile God and man. Now, if he didn't finish it, that makes him a liar and a lunatic, doesn't it? Hello? If he didn't do what he said, then he's a liar and a lunatic. But you know what? He did what he said, whether we believe it or not. He come to reconcile, and he's accomplished that. It just hasn't been walked out yet. Okay? We got one word done so far, okay? He said, you believe, or literally, you have faith into God, have faith also into me. Didn't say believe. The word believe isn't there. That's something someone else put in there. Translation. It says, have faith. Pistis is the word. Have faith. You have faith into God, have faith into me also, he's telling you. Okay? He says, in my Father's house, or my Father's dwelling place, are many residences. Not mansions. That's that fly away thing, you know. We're going to get up there and sit in a big castle somewhere on a hill. There are many residences. If it were not so, I would tell you, not have told, but I would tell you. It's not a past tense word. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't go up in the corner of house, in the corner of heaven with humanity for habitat to build little log cabins for everybody, did he? See? Well, that's what the church world believes. There are going to be little log cabins all over heaven and they get to live in one of them. That's not it. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you know what Jesus had not done at this point? He hadn't went to the cross yet. And he went to prepare a place for you. You know what he prepared for you? Exactly where you're at right now. This body you're living in. Isn't this not the temple of God? He created the temple, cleansed the temple, that you and him can dwell together in that same temple. He didn't go fly away someplace. He went to a hill called Golgotha to prepare this temple for him and you to share with the Father. Okay? Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Now, that's not talking about him going up into heaven, coming back. Wasn't what he was talking about. He died, went into the bowels of the earth, and came back 3 days later in a resurrection. True or false? He came back 3 days later. He didn't say, I'm going to go away. Huh? Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
In the verse before it says that I go.
Mm-hmm.
I go to prepare a place.
Absolutely.
And then the next one says, and if
yeah. I go. Yeah. Okay. What's he saying there when he says, and if I go? Now he's saying, I'm going to go, And if I go do what I say, then I'm going to come back to you. You see what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to go do it. And he said, and if I go do what I told you I'm going to do, then I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back to you. Make sense now? Okay. King James can really do some hoodoo on that stuff if you don't watch it. Okay? He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, in order that wherever I am, you be also. The word may makes it maybe. So in order wherever I am, where are you going to be? Aren't you and him one? Wasn't his prayer in John 17, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you? See, it's all about being the same place. If Christ dwells within you, how could you go anywhere, Keith, without him? Didn't he just say, he's going to say in this chapter, you can do nothing without me. Oh, that's the next chapter. You can do nothing without me. That's in 15, about verse 6 or something, 5 or 6. He says, you can do nothing without me. If I can do nothing without him, then guess what? How can I get away from him? Yeah, he has sovereignty, that's for sure. Okay. And he says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Is he hiding anything from you? It's only hid from the world. See, to the sons of God, it's not hid. It's no different than when Jesus spoke the truths he spoke, it was talking in a foreign language that they did not understand. Do you realize what I'm saying? He spoke the language they spoke, but they couldn't understand what he said because he was speaking spiritual truths and they were trying to understand with a natural mind. Do you understand that? Okay? Is it any different today? It's no different. What he said then is still got the same import in it that it said when he said it back there 2,000 years ago. Did his word change because it's 2,000 years later? His word never changes. See? Man and their understanding is what's changed. Okay? So what do you think is really going on here? In the fifth verse, I'll go on to the fifth verse. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we possibly know the way? Now, do you know what Thomas's name means? It's a hint to what's going on. What's that? Two, twin. His name means twin or what? Double-minded. See? And wasn't he the doubting Thomas? He had two ways of thinking. He thought he was spiritual, but he doubted God, right? God has a sense of humor. He always uses these names. I like it. So he was talking in carnality. He said, Lord, where are you going? How are we going to know where you're going? And how can we know the way? We don't understand nothing. Where do you think Thomas was at? You think he was in the spirit realm, or you think he was still walking on the earth? He was still in left field, wasn't he? Just carnality. So Jesus comes back, and his reply is this. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And can you imagine what went through Thomas's mind? Could you imagine? What kind of power and understanding and knowledge did Jesus have to be able to stand up in front of all these people and say, I am the way that no man on the face of this earth, no man or woman, no humanity, can ever go to the Father except to come through me. Don't you know they thought he was arrogant? Don't you think? But you know what he was? Confident. He knew. He wasn't thinking what he was. He knew it. He knew who he was. Absolutely knew who he was. He said, if you had known me, and now he's getting a little jab back at him, okay? He's saying, now, if you had known me, how many years has he walked with him? How long have I had to put up with you? If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. You know why? Why did he say, from now on, you know my Father and you have seen him? Who was they looking at? They was looking at God in the flesh. Christ was standing there saying, if you've seen me, you know the Father. You've seen the Father. From here on, now you know who he is. You stand up in front of somebody today and say, you want to see God? Look at me. You know what they're going to tell you? You're a fruitcake, ain't they? But see, the book says this in John. If any man denies that Jesus is come in the flesh, is an antichrist. Well, I'm saying he come in my flesh, and they're saying you're crazy. You know what? God's still telling the truth. Because he's come in my flesh. He's come in your flesh. I don't care what they say, because that book is right. And I won't compromise. They can do whatever they will. But I'll not compromise. You know, if I have to walk by myself, me and my wife, through the rest of our lives, in this desert, out in the wilderness, so be it. I will not compromise what God has put in me. Won't do it. Doesn't make any difference. I know I'm not popular with the religious part, and most of the kingdom people don't really like what I have to say. Well, I'm sorry. I'm only saying what Father gives me to say. I don't have a choice in what I say. Yeah. They can't see the Christ. I can only say what he gives me to say. I can't edit what God gives me to say. I can't edit it. Neither can anybody else. If you edit what God says, then God ain't speaking through you. If God's speaking through you, you'll say whatever he tells you to say. Chips fall where they may. It don't make no difference. You say what he says. He wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be God if you edit him. See? It's all right. False alarm. Okay. Here's Philip. And Philip jumps up and says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. What did he just say? He didn't hear a thing. Did he? He did not hear a thing. He said, show us the Father. And what did Jesus just say in the verse before? If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. He's telling you, you're looking right at him. You're looking him right in the eyeballs, and you can't see him. And Philip jumps right up to this. It's a perfect example of how we can be spiritual one minute, and then a split second later, we're jumping right back into carnality and saying something foolish. Okay? We should be swift to do what? Hear, slow to speak. Most people swift to speak and slow to hear. It's exactly backwards, isn't it? If we would slow down what we speak when we respond to someone, we do not have to give that instant response. Just because somebody asks you a question doesn't mean you only have 3/10 of a second to blurt out the answer, does it? You can say, just a moment, let me think about that. Let me collect my thoughts and see if I have the correct answer to give to you. No, people just blurt out something so they can be the first one to get it on the floor. Well, yeah, they're using the frontal part of their brain, not getting into the back at all. And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? Have you not known who I am? He's told him and told him and told him, I am the Son of God. I and the Father are one. And what good did it do? Did he listen? Now, Philip's name will give you some hint to what's going on too. He's a lover of humanity. See? He's wrapped up in humanity. That's why he wants to see with the natural eye. He wants to hear with the natural ear. He doesn't want to see with the spiritual eye or the spiritual ear. Hear with the spiritual ear. That's why he's wound up in it. And he goes on and says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Then he says, how do you say then, show us the Father? Don't you know he's rebuking him right here? He said, Philip, I just told you, if you look at me, you've seen God. And yet you're turning around saying, show me the Father and we'll be satisfied. You think he didn't have to put up with some carnality? You think you're not going to have to? Verse 10. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He's asking, he said, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not from myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does this. See? He does this work. He's saying, now, do you think Jesus had a choice? I don't think so. I know there's people say, oh, we're free moral agents. Well, you know what? I've never met a free person yet in the religious realm, and I ain't never met a moral one either. And I ain't met none of them that's agents of God either. I haven't. Not in the religious realm, so I haven't met any of them that's there. And now that's kind of sound funny, but that's the truth. I have not met anybody that is in that place. They say they're free moral agents, and they act like it. They do whatever they want. And see, you remember the little thing that I told you God gave me? Freedom is not doing what you want. But freedom is living within God's limitations and boundaries and being happy there. Be contented there. Jesus was contented where he was at in God's confinement. All the priests that he had, all the prophets that he had throughout the scriptures, they never complained about where God had them once they come to maturity. Now in the processing, they did a little murmuring and complaining, didn't they? But when they come to maturity, guess what? They didn't complain anymore. They knew what God was doing. Verse 11, I said, believe me that I am in the Father, he says, and the Father's in me. But if not, he said, if you don't want to believe that, what it says, or else it says, but if not, believe me through the work itself. Okay? The word sake isn't there. He said, if you don't believe me that the Father's in me and I am him, at least believe because of the miracles that I'm doing. Does that make sense to you? At least believe what's being done is from God. Don't even worry about me. See, Jesus never drew attention to himself. Never. He never bragged and said, I've been saved for 45 years. I got saved in such and such a church and such a preacher laid hands on me and I got saved. He never bragged about how long he was there, did he? He just come to do his Father's will. That word I, that little ego thing jumps up everywhere. Lord, I've been hearing much of that this week. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes not on, but into me, that has faith into me, and the works that I do, shall he do also. Hello? He said, whatever he's doing, you're going to do also. So what's the great big surprise? He's told you ahead of time, hadn't he, for a reason? We're going to do the same thing he's doing also, and greater. The word works isn't there, it's added. Than these things shall you do, because I go to my Father. He's finished his work. Didn't he say the last thing he said before he left on the cross? Finished? Now whose turn is it? It's our turn to do something. Are we going to do what we're told to do? Are we going to obey our Father? Are we going to listen to religion and play the game? So like Bob said, you've been ostracized from your family for seeking the truth and not wanting to walk in a row like the ducks all walk into the pond, you know. Well, God gave us a mind, we should use it. He said, if you ask, he won't give you a snake or a serpent, will he? He'll give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it. The Holy Spirit is going to be the one that guides you into how much truth? All truth. He didn't say your preacher would guide you into all truth, did it? That's the problem with churches. The preachers have got themselves set up as God themselves. You see, Jesus didn't say, no man goes to the Father except through your preacher. He didn't say that, did he? He said, no man goes to the Father except through Christ. See? And people's got this man worship in church. They worship the person. Forget the person. It's the Christ within the person. Paul clearly told us, it's not I that lives, but the Christ is within me. We've got to get this thing straight. If we can't get it straight in our mind, how are we ever going to help anybody else? You never can. I can't teach you something if I haven't learned it myself, can I? You've got to do the same thing. You've got to learn it, see? I can only give you direction. I can only help you when you ask for help. I can help you. But I don't have any right to come into your life and say, stop doing that and start doing that. I don't have a right to do that. In fact, it's none of my business what you do in your life. And so the church has got so wrapped up in control and manipulation, they wanted every detail of your life, they want it. It's none of their concern, is it? It's up to you and God to work out your life. He bought you with a price, so guess who you belong to? Him, not me. I'm just here to help you. I am an agent of His. And I'm not going to say I'm a free one either, because I didn't ask for it, He took me. Okay? Where am I at? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, my onoma, my nature, character, authority, okay? If you ask it, that thing will I do. See, now he didn't say, Father, I want a Mercedes-Benz in Jesus' name. You think I'm going to get a Mercedes out in the driveway? Well, then Jesus lied, according to the church. Because it said you only had to ask it in Jesus' name, N-A-M-E, is what they say. Somebody lying. See, that don't mean that. That's carnality. He said, when you ask it in my nature, in my character, and with the authority of the Spirit of God, guess what I'm not going to ask for? If I'm asking for Mercedes, it's for somebody who really needs it, not for me. If you ask to heap it upon yourself in your own lust, you're not going to get it. See? You're not going to get it. But if when you ask what Jesus asked, He only asked for someone else. He only asked for somebody else. He said, Father, I'm doing these things not for me, but that they can believe and have faith into you. That's why I'm asking these things. Jesus knew what the Father was going to do through and with him, but he did it to show us. That make sense? That the Father may be glorified, where? In the Son. Whenever we do something, we're not doing it to glorify self, we're doing it to glorify the Father, and the Father is glorified in one place only, in the Son. When you are truly a son, guess what? You glorify the Father. Jesus never would let them worship Him, would He? He said, don't worship me, worship God, worship the Father. And that's the mentality we have to understand in this mind of Christ. We cannot focus on ourselves as being important in this situation. In this equation, we're just part of the scenery. The main thing is about Christ and Him glorified in us for the Father's glory. Verse 15. Is that where I'm at? 14. If you ask, and the word shall isn't there, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, if anybody in this room or anybody that ever hears the words off his tape can say, I have never asked for anything in Jesus' name, they're lying through their teeth. We have all done it sometime in our life because we were told that's what we were supposed to do, right? We were told that. That word onoma does not mean N-A-M-E. It means the nature and character and authority. We're looking at the spiritual side of this thing. Because every one of us is in it. Now, everyone, if you believe what this Bible says is truth, I believe that this is truth, not the translation in English, but what the language really said, what God said. And He said, Jesus said, if you ask me, I'll do it. If you ask it in my name, I'll do it for you. Anybody ever asked in His name and not got it? Every one of us has done it and not got it, did we? Then something's wrong. And see, in the church realm, they won't let you question why it didn't happen. They say, you must not have any faith. Bob, you just don't have enough faith or you would have got that prayer. Yeah, see, they pointed at somebody else. And the problem lies in the people teaching and giving somebody the false information and trying to make it work. It don't work. Yeah, well, it could have been sin, or it's the lack of faith or sin, one of the two. You know, that's what they tell you. But if you'll do anything in my nature, if I ask for the same reason that Jesus asked for something, guess what I'm going to get? Exactly what he got. Whatever he asked.
In the spirit of or the likeness of what?
Whatever the Father wanted, that's what was coming through the heart of Jesus. Through his mind, through his mouth, was only coming out the heart of the Father. Because in the bow the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He was speaking the heart of the Father. And if you speak something according to what Jesus said or the heart of the Father, there's no way it can't come to pass. No way. It's like this. These people go out and pray, and they'll pray for hours, and they'll scream and yell and cry and plead and beg with God and beat the floor and just scream and holler. And they'll ask for 10,000 things before they get up off the floor. And what's in their mind really says, if I ask for enough things, I'll get something. Remember what I'm teaching in Samuel right now? It said in Samuel that God never let a word fall to the ground from his mouth. My God, do you understand what that's saying? Everything he spoke came to pass. And see, that's exactly where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be crying and praying for Aunt Susie's hangnail. I'm supposed to be praying the things of God. Does that make sense? Big difference. Because flesh comes and begs and cries for all kinds of things. Jesus never did that. I guarantee you he walked by hundreds, if not thousands, of people that were sick and dying. But he only touched the ones that Father told him to touch. He only prayed for the ones for someone else's benefit, for God's purpose and for God's glory. Like the blind man in John chapter 9. Who sinned? This man or his father or his parents? Neither. He was born blind that the glory of God could be shown upon him. See? It's all about God's glory, not about what we want. We've got to get ourselves out of the equation. Verse 15. Oh, my, my, my. If you love me, keep my commandments. Does anybody don't understand that one? Does anybody don't understand that? That's about as plain as it can be. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then go. Now, we're not done with this because these two verses go together. And I will not pray, the word is ask. I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, see, you know, we hear everybody say, I'm going to send you another comforter, and he's going to teach you all things. But see, how about this verse? He said, first you have to keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Guess what? I'm going to ask the Father to send you a comforter. So who's getting the comforter? Hello? The ones who keep his commandments and love him. Those are the ones that's going to have the comforter. It's conditional, isn't it? The word if makes it conditional, right? Language, you got to know your language, and if makes it conditional. He said, I'm going to send you, I'm going to get you the comforter if you keep my commandments. And the word that should be in order, that's Hina. In order that he may what? Abide with you? That's not what it says. The word may abide should be. That he may be, not with. It's the Greek word meta, in the midst of you. That he may be in the midst of you or in the middle of you. Where is that at? In your spirit. See, right in the midst of you. And for how long?
Forever.
And the language, there's three words there. Eis ho aeon. Into the ages. Okay? That he may be with you into the ages. The next verse starts out in 17, cross the first word out. It says, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Hello? The world cannot possibly receive. Okay? Because it sees him not, neither knows him. Why can't they receive him? They don't see him, and they don't know him. That's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty simple, isn't it? If you can't see something, would you believe it's there? Huh? See? Can't see it. That's the natural man. Got to see it. Got to touch it. Got to taste it. Smell it before I believe it's there. No, it's there. He's there. But see, when your eyes are awakened spiritually, you see things that other people don't see. And immediately somebody wants to label you a heretic or you're crazy because you don't walk like the rest of the ducks in a row. You might even wander off another course. And let's hope you do. Into the course he calls. They got to have that definite proof. They have that carnality. I got to see it. Okay? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. Now, he didn't say you might know him or you're going to someday know him. He said you know him. That's a present tense statement, isn't it? Because he dwells within you, he dwells with you and shall be in you. Okay? How could I not know him if he's dwelling resident in me? Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. You know what that word is in the Greek language? Orphanos. Orphanos. It means bereaved or parentless, an orphan. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you. See, he's not talking about taking Jesus away from you. He's talking about taking, when you're talking about an orphan, who got took away? The parents. So he's saying, I'm not going to take the Father away from you. That's who we're talking about, isn't it? This is about God the Father, not about Jesus the man. We're talking, he said, I'm not going to go away. When I go away, he said, I'm not taking the Father away from you. You'll be all right. He said, I will not leave you bereaved or parentless or an orphan. I'm not taking the Father from you. I will come to you, and I as God, truly. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. Do you think he knew what's coming? He knew the hill was coming, didn't he? But you see me because I live. You live also. The word shall should be crossed out of there. It's an added word. But you see me because I live. And because I live, see that punctuation, let me write that on the board real quick. Tell me what that says. It's like I keep getting words messed up when I start to write down. But you see me. What's next? Okay. Because... here, you see me because I live, you live. That's the way it should be. Because I live, you live. See, if the punctuation is changed, it changes the way you speak the words, doesn't it? And it says, but you see me because you see, because I live, comma, you live. Not shall live, like, okay, someday in sweet by and by, I'm going to live. That's not true. Life is now. What life is in us? Let me ask you a question. What life is in us?
Resurrection.
Okay. When did that begin?
Before the foundation of the world.
The life of God is what we're talking about, isn't it? When did God begin? There was no beginning. He just was. Always was. Always is, right? There's no beginning in God. So I can't say, because you see me, someday you'll live. No, if I'm alive or ever going to be alive, I am alive when? Now. It's not sometime in the future. It's right now we are alive. And I'm not talking in this flesh. I'm talking about alive in the spirit, inside, internal. And it should be working its way to the external. Okay? Right. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Wouldn't that make everybody one? I'm not talking about a big seething mass of humanity. We're not talking about some kind of big orgy or something. We're talking about everybody having the same mind. Okay? There's what we're talking about. Mind. Same thought process. That's what this teaching is about. Learning the thought processes of God. How did Jesus react when he came to a situation? Right. So guess what? Even if I can't hear God, I don't think I can hear God. I can read this book and see a pattern of how he did everything. Can I not? Guess what? Even in the natural, I can find the patterns of God in here. And he never did anything in a self-centered, self-motivated way. Did he? So guess what? If I never do anything self-motivated, self-centered, egotistical in anything, guess what? I can't be wrong, can I? Because if I'm doing it anything away from the egotistical, self-centered way, it has to be God, because that's all there is. God and humanity. That's all there is. Nothing else. Only two purposes there is out there. Okay? Verse 21. Love this verse. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. But I got to back up and change a word in here that's mistranslated. He that hath, H-A-T-H, he that possesses. He that possesses my commandments. Remember what Paul said in his gospel? This is my gospel. You know what he possessed? The commandments of God. They're his. See, when you possess it, who's it belong to? Whose is it, Keith? If you possess it. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you possess it, he said, if you possess my commandments, oh God, hang on to that. If you if you possess my commandments and keep them, you're the one that loves me. How's he going to judge you? He said the word's going to judge everything. If you keep my commandments, okay, if you possess them and you keep them or guard them, guess what? He'll know who you are, won't he? He'll know who you are. He it is that shall love me. He shall love me. He says, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved by, the word hupo, by my Father. And I will love him and will what? The word literally is emphanzo. It means to exhibit. I will exhibit myself to him, or I will show myself to him. Okay? And Judas, and the name really is Jude. He has four names in Scripture. He's called Judas, Jude, Thaddeus, and Labius. Same guy. And it says, not Judas Iscariot. See right there? He said, Lord, not how, but why is it that you intend to exhibit yourself to us and not to the world? There's a question there now. That was a good question. He said, why is it that you intend to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Because you don't want to leave us as orphans, right? He told him down here. But see, the natural mind, are they thinking about it? See? They're not thinking about it. If we let our mind become free, if we get still in this desert experience, when we're out there in the sand, in the loneliness, separated from humanity, we'll start to think about God. And you know what you'll find out there in that desert? You'll find out that your identity is in Him. And when you find that, you'll never, ever fear a thing again. You'll have such liberty, you'll have such peace, such contentment in this world, even with all the hell going on around you, you'll just smile at people. That's what it's about. That's the purpose of it. And everybody else is caught up in all the stuff going on. And that stuff is what's bringing you to the perfection. Paul wrote about Jesus and said, learned he obedience. through the things that he suffered. Don't let it be agitated and stirred up and all that stuff, see, just because you're being rejected. Don't worry about that stuff. Let it go. They're the ones that's in torment. You know when someone jumps on you and accuses you of something? It's because they're in hell. He would have rather you punched him in the nose than walk away and leave him frustrated like that, wouldn't he? See? That's the whole thing. See, in peace, I can walk away and leave them right in the hell that they're in, because I ain't jumping in hell with them just because they want to be in hell. I'm not going to. And you don't have to either. You have power over all the power of the enemy, don't you? Okay? Then you've got control of this thing. You don't have to go there, do you? Only reason you go there is because you agree to go there. That's it. Straight up. Where am I at now? 22. Okay, that's right. I just went to 23. And Jesus responded and said to him, "If any person love me, he will keep my logos, my words, his spiritual words, his commandments that you possess, okay? It's yours. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode," where? In him. You know why it's in him? It's the Greek word para, which normally means near. Okay? But in the dative case, it means in, I-N. See, a lot of this language, if you don't go into it, you'll never understand it. And so you'll keep saying, "He's with me. Oh, he's standing over here. He's with me. He's over here. If he's in me, you can't see him, can you?" Yeah, he's still over here, or he's up there or somewhere. But you can't keep having that duality in your mind. He's in us. "He that loves me not keeps not my logos, my sayings, my commandments." Hello? He said, if you don't love me, you don't keep my sayings or my commandments. Does that make sense? If you love me, you keep them. If you don't keep them, you don't love me. That's his words, isn't it? And when people run every day and go contrary, and preachers preach contrary to what this book says, they preach contrary to the very nature of God, which they will stand and tell you, God is love. And they will preach fear and intimidation, manipulation and control, condemnation. How can they preach that when it's contrary to the very nature of God? They don't know him. That's the whole thing. They don't know him. They know about him. They know about his ways a little bit. But he says here, "He that loved me not keeps not my sayings or commandments, and the word, the logos, which you hear is not mine." So the words that they speak, guess what? He's talking about the people who don't keep the commandments. The words that they speak, they're not mine. They're not of God, are they? They say they are, don't they? And I heard a man ask me a long time ago, he says, "Well, who am I supposed to believe?" He said, "Every preacher you talk to says something different, and they all say God said." I said, "Do you know how to read?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then I suggest you read the book and use the mind that God gave you, and you'll figure out which one of them's telling the truth and how many of them's telling a lie. Because most of them are telling you a lie, whether they're intentionally doing it or not, I don't know. Some of them are and some of them aren't. But if you read it yourself and talk to your Father, James said, if you ask any man lack wisdom, do what? Ask God. He gives to all men. Did he say part of them or all of them? If you sincerely want it. But you know what? I'll take, what was that guy said that in that, Jack Nicholson said in that one Marine movie? You can't handle the truth. And see, most people cannot handle the truth. I've had people say, "Oh, I can handle the truth." And I said, "Okay, let me just talk to you a little bit about it." Within 5 minutes, they're gone. See? Because they can't handle truth. They thought they had the truth. And when they found out their foundation was a little sandy and it wasn't very much stone, they were offended and gone. Anybody who is offended because of talking at this word is still in the Passover or Pentecost realm. There should never be an offense in tabernacles. Jesus was never offended, was he? There's my pattern. Then do I have a right to be offended? Had a lady today tell me, oh, you'll be offended one of these days. Oh, God will humble you. I said, honey, you're not humbled by being offended. You're not humbled by being offended. I said, it makes you prideful when you're offended. I said, you've missed the whole point. I said, when you've been humbled, you'll never be angry again. When you're truly humbled, you won't be angry again. You may not like something, but you don't have to be angry. You don't have to be violent and retaliate against things. Okay? He said, the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being present with you. The word yet's added. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, nature, character, honor, authority, he shall teach you all and bring all to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Who's the teacher? The Holy Spirit. Oh, I love this part. Peace I leave to you. Literally, the word leave is give. Peace I give to you. Not leave with you, give to you. That's what the language actually says. Peace I give to you. And then he goes on to reiterate, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Okay? Now, look what he says here. Let not your what? Let not your heart be troubled. Same thing, same word used in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. And it means the agitated, to be agitated, an inward commotion, a restlessness, or perplex the mind by doubt. Okay? So what's he talking about going on? When you're troubled, where's the trouble at? Is it external or internal? It's an internal working, but it's not of God, is it? See? That's the self in there, stirring things up. That's the accuser. He said, let not your heart be stirred up. Don't let it be troubled. Don't let it be in agitation. Don't let it be in commotion or restlessness or perplexed by doubt. Okay? So don't let that stuff happen. Neither let it be what? Neither be timid or fearful. Do you know how many times I've been told that I intimidate people just by talking truth? I wouldn't hurt anybody. In times past, yes, I would have. Nothing to be proud of, just a fact. I would have. I hurt people. Intentionally hurt people. So what? It was in ignorance. God forgave that ignorance. Did he not? Okay? And I don't live in condemnation and guilt about anything I've ever done in my life, and neither should you. What's done is done. It's water over the dam, spilled milk, can't get it back up, can you? Forget about it. David said, I was shaped in my sins and iniquities. By the things that I lived in my life, it made me who I am today. If I hadn't experienced all those things, guess what I would be? Still a mess. I learned by the doing the wrong thing. The gift of mistake that God gave me, I utilized most all of them. You get that? I utilized most of those gifts. You know, I had a toolbox full of them, and I used most of them up. But it made me who I am today. And that's what we have to understand. We can't be fearful. We can't be timid. We got to do what we got to do. Did you think anybody think Jesus was timid? There's a lot of people think that he was just a little meek, mealy-mouthed person. He walked right into the middle of religion and kicked over tables and took a whip and beat people out of the tabernacle. He walked right into the face of religion to the priests and called them serpents, snakes, vipers, hypocrites, liars, and thieves, didn't he? Well, that's okay, because that was Jesus. But if I am part of his body and I am part of that son, guess what? I have the same authority and so do you. If you're part of that son, don't you? You have the same authority. Why can't I tell the truth? Why do I have to bite my tongue when someone's a liar and a thief and a hypocrite? Why do I have to bite my tongue? Oh, isn't he nice? No, he's a liar and a thief and a hypocrite. It's the truth. It's not a slander. It's not an intent to defame somebody. It's not. There's no malicious intent involved in it. It's just the truth. Is there anything wrong with the truth? Well, men don't like it, do they? See? Humanity does not like light. They like darkness. They can hide their deeds. Right? So we don't have to, he said, don't let your heart be troubled or agitated or messed up or perplexed by doubt. And don't let it be timid or fearful. God has not given you a spirit of fear, has he? And if you got one, you did not get it from him, did you? I wonder where you got it from. I know. No one said anything, so I said, I know. You know too. Yeah. Okay. Verse 28. You have heard how that I said to you, I go away and come to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to my Father, because my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you would have faith in me and in God. You would have faith. Okay? Hereafter I will not talk much with you, because the prince or the ruler of this world comes, and he possesses nothing in me. He possesses nothing in me. I love that. And see, you should be able to claim that same thing. See, if you're fearful and timid, you will never say, here comes the ruler of this world and he has nothing in me. He possesses nothing of me. I had a woman today say, oh, I can't wait till someday I can say that. But if you can't say it today, you probably never will you? Because today is the only day you got. Today is the day of the Lord, isn't it? Today is the day that you speak it out. And if you're timid and fearful, which this lady is, you say boo and she jumped out of her skin. Might have been good for her to do that. You get that? And in order that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from this place. Okay. Let us rise and go from this place. What would that say? That just sounds so innocent, little passage of Scripture. Arise, let us go from this place. God, there's a wealth of information here. Arise, resurrect. Let's walk in this resurrection that we've been given. See? And let's get out of this place called earth. Let's get out of this carnal thinking. Let's go someplace else. How about let's go into the spirit realm? Huh? He told us everything we had to have. He said, I've given you everything. I've supplied all your needs according to his riches in Christ. Has he not? Then why are we sitting here saying, someday I'll fly away. Come on. This is now. If we get this mind and understanding in us, my God, do you realize what you can do? I'm not talking about going out and building a kingdom for yourself. The kingdom has already been built. All I'm telling you to do is appropriate the power God has given you so you can do what Father wants done. I'm not looking for a job. I'm not looking for some exploits to do. I'm not looking to raise somebody from the dead so they can pick up a gun and go shoot somebody. I'm not looking for nothing like that. I'm not even worried about the natural things. See? Because if you really believe, those miracles will follow after you. They won't be the headline on your marquee of your church. We do miracles. See? Come to our miracle crusade. See? The greatest miracle there is, and this is the miracle that God put in my heart to do, is to resurrect people from the dead spiritually so they have the truth in them. To resurrect them and then give them sight and hearing. You can't give them no more than that. God puts a life in them and you show them what he wants to do and turn them loose. Because he's the one directing all things.
He just gave you another thing of saying, let not your heart be troubled.
Mm-hmm. Raise up and get out of this place.
Why sit here till we die?
Yeah, wait to... When I was talking to those preachers the other day, them guys said, well, you know, when we die, we get to go to heaven. I said, I'll tell you what. If you can show me one place in the Bible where it says, when you die, you get to go to heaven, I'll give you five crisp $100 bills. And you know what? They ain't done it. Because they don't say it. No, you can't pin it in between the lines and then add it to it. No, that don't work.
Well, I think that'll hold the money.
Oh. I ain't got $500 to give away, but I know I don't have to worry about it.